What we did was a content analysis of online news stories and looked at HPV vaccine coverage. So the purpose of this study, on June 8, 2006, the Food and Drug Administration licensed the first vaccine to protect against four of the most common strains of the human papillomavirus, or HPV. And HPV is responsible for 70% of all cervical cancers and 90% of genital warts. And this is the first known descriptive study post-licensure to look at HPV vaccine internet news coverage. So what we did was explored media portrayal of the vaccine in the first 4 months of licensure to better understand social issues and concerns, look at accuracy issues of media coverage, and explore possible changes in information over time. And it's important to keep in mind that information about the HPV vaccine in the media may influence personal attitudes and vaccine uptake. So, as mentioned earlier this morning, HPV is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the U.S. Approximately 20 million people are currently infected. An additional 6.2 million become newly infected each year. And half of infected males and females with HPV are adolescent girls and young adults ages 15 to 24. Merck Pharmaceuticals is the manufacturer of the vaccine, and it protects against HPV types 6, 11, 16, and 18. It's an intramuscular shot given in 3 doses, and the most common side effect is pain at the injection site. It hasn't been approved yet for males, and the market price for it is about $120 per dose. When reviewing the literature, we see that news is an important source of health information, but that in previous studies, information is not always balanced, and that media reports can affect vaccine coverage. The internet is a really important news source for Americans. About 73 million Americans report going online for health information. 50 million Americans go online for news, and when they go online, they expect to find up-to-date and reliable news. In terms of vaccine acceptability, we've seen issues in the past with the rotavirus and negative coverage around adverse events. And previous studies have looked at doing Google hits on immunization and vaccination, and about 43% of websites that came up were anti-immunization websites. There have also been previous content analyses on HPV material and education materials and media coverage of HPV. And a lot of this material has found biased, inaccurate, unscientific, misleading, and outdated information in regard to internet information. Also, this study piggybacks on media coverage of a vaccine that got their media coverage from LexisNexis between 2002 and 2005. It was pre-licensure media coverage. And they found in a lot of their articles that the link between HPV and cervical cancer was missing. I think only one of the articles mentioned the need for continuation of pap smears even after vaccination. And political and moral debates were even being raised at that point regarding the HPV vaccine. So this study was a random sample of internet news stories. We've conducted, we've gathered data over 2 points in time at this point. The first point was between June 2006 and September 2006, and we just recently finished collecting data for time two, and that was collected between November 2007 and March 2008. So we used 4 news search engines. We used Google News, Yahoo News, CNN.com, and MSNBC.com, and those were the top 4 news-cited news engines. We used 6 different search terms, as you can see, and what we did was when we plugged in the search terms, we took the top 3 hits. So I don't know if you can see. We would have taken this demand outstrip supply article. Oh, where'd it go? And the Senate approves blocking Perry's HPV vaccine, and then the Umatilla Health Department article. So the content analysis guide consisted of about 6 different measures. We looked at general headline frame. We looked to see if the frame, if the headline was coded as positive, negative, or neutral. We also looked at vaccine label. We coded to see if it was labeled as an HPV vaccine, a cervical cancer vaccine, an STD vaccine, a genital warts vaccine, and if it was referred to by its brand name. We also looked at HPV vaccine information, and we looked to see if the articles provided background information on HPV, background information on cervical cancer, and then if they made a connection between HPV and cervical cancer. And then we looked at social issues and concerns surrounding the vaccine, and then we looked at information across time. And so we developed a coding instrument and code book, and we had two coders. And error rate of reliability was done on 10% of the sample, and the Cohen's kappa was set at 0.60. We analyzed data in SPSS and ran frequencies and chi-squares. So the univariate results, we see that over half of the articles were framed as neutral toward the HPV vaccine, and that articles were more likely to be recorded as positive toward the vaccine than more negative toward the vaccine. The most frequently, articles most frequently labeled the vaccine as a cervical cancer vaccine and an HPV vaccine. Brand name was mentioned in over half of the articles, and the STI vaccine and genital warts vaccine were less commonly used when referencing the vaccine. Here's a list of the social issues and concerns we looked at, and as you can see, affordability was the number one issue that was brought up. And under here is a subcategory. We looked at funding mechanisms for the vaccine in terms of affordability, and private insurance was most commonly discussed. Continued pap smears was mentioned more frequently in this study than in past studies, about 25% of the time. But here we see that in the first 4 months of licensure, safety and side effects was mentioned less than 5% of the time. We also looked at accuracy of information among these three variables, which was dosing, efficacy, and duration. And dosing information was almost 100% correct, but efficacy and duration accuracy tended to be more inaccurate throughout the study. Dosing was actually one of the most mentioned facts regarding the vaccine. And then we see that it was followed by that the vaccine was available for girls and young women, and the cost of the vaccine were mentioned. But the least mentioned were that the vaccine does not protect against all types of HPV, that there's a catch-up vaccine for women up to age 26, and that the most common side effect is pain at the injection site. As I mentioned before, we looked to see if news stories provided background information on HPV and cervical cancer, and then if it made the link between the two. And we saw that the majority of news stories linked HPV to cervical cancer, and that there was also a very strong association between providing background information on HPV and making the link between cervical cancer. But what this chart shows is that among news stories that provided no background on cervical cancer information, still 40.6 of them managed to link HPV to cervical cancer. We also found that when looking at information across two time periods, that there was no significant difference in headline frame after the June 29th ACIP recommendations were announced. And further cross-tabulations of social issues and concern revealed highly significant differences between articles before and after the ACIP recommendations in regard to affordability, private insurance, and increased sexual behaviors approached significance but was actually negatively correlated, so information actually decreased after the ACIP recommendations came out. So this is a preliminary analysis for our time 2 data, which was collected between November and March. And there were no significant differences among article frame from time 1 to time 2, and we see that articles continue to be framed more neutrally. Vaccine is most commonly referred to by its brand name now, Gardasil, and as an HPV vaccine as compared to time 1, which it was most frequently referred to as a cervical cancer vaccine. We've seen a significant increase in use of brand name and a significant decrease in use of cervical cancer vaccine. Information on mandatory school vaccination and increased sexual risk behavior has significantly decreased, whereas information on affordability issues have either remained constant or decreased. Information on side effects and adverse events have significantly increased since time 1. I think it's gone from about 53% to 88%. So we've got to mull through all this information. And so what we see is that articles were coded mainly as neutral, and they continue to be neutral. And this may have been because there are more positive than negative articles, and also because media tends to talk about medical breakthroughs and sensationalize, oh, we have this new vaccine, isn't that great? Media are also framing HPV as a vaccine to prevent cervical cancer now. I mean, in time one, they were framing it as a vaccine to prevent cervical cancer, and now it's being framed as Gardasil and HPV vaccine. So in time one, and when the vaccine was first licensed, we saw this marketing focus on it as a cervical cancer vaccine. And several of the articles we looked at touched on this. And so here's a quote from one of them that says, "With so many types of HPV, Merck could not very well call a product that guards against four strains of HPV an HPV vaccine. We talk about it as a cervical cancer vaccine because it was designed to prevent cervical cancer." But then the article goes on to mention that by calling Gardasil a cancer vaccine, Merck in fact shortchanges its own product, and Merck should be working equally hard to get across to the public the value of the vaccination in treating these other less cancer-causing conditions. And what we've seen in these studies is that genital warts is the most, it's rarely labeled as a genital warts vaccine. Information calling the vaccine an STD vaccine and genital warts vaccine has continued to decrease. And this can be somewhat problematic because it doesn't sort of start the conversation around future STD vaccines. In terms of increased sexual risk behaviors, that was one of the top social issues, but information did decrease and continues to decrease. This may have just been because the immediate reaction was sort of, fear of sexual risk behaviors, but maybe it was because parents were just kind of, there was some discomfort around discussing STDs with their children. We saw that continued pap smears information has increased, but yet none of the articles really discuss that the vaccine does not prevent all HPV types. We also saw that affordability was the most discussed issue. The cost of the vaccine was also discussed in over 50% of the articles. But we also saw that when we looked at funding issues of the vaccine, that funding for the underserved, such as the Vaccine for Children program and pharmaceutical assistance programs, were rarely discussed, so we're sort of missing how to help the underserved. And in terms of safety, we've seen a drastic increase in information. The articles did a great job of linking HPV to cervical cancer, but it's problematic that so many continue to do so without providing background information. In terms of vaccine facts, efficacy and duration variables were more likely to provide inaccurate information. And looking at information across time, we saw significant differences were only found among vaccine affordability and private insurance. And we think maybe this happened because after the ACIP provided their recommendations for 11 to 12-year-olds, it legitimized the vaccine a little more, and then there was more impetus towards, are we going to mandate this vaccine? How are private insurers going to fund it? And there was also concern, as I mentioned, about increased sexual risk behaviors approaching significance, but it was negatively correlated. And we think that maybe after the ACIP gave rationale for vaccinating 11 to 12-year-olds, that maybe some fears were appeased. So the strengths and limitations, this was one of the first studies to look at HPV vaccine news coverage on the internet, which started right at licensure. It explored specific social issues and concerns. Limitations, there may have been some duplicate articles. We did our best to sort them out, but a few still could have snuck in there. And further improvements could continue to be made to the coding instrument. We tried to revise our best for time 2 data. In terms of implication, many of these same issues and lessons will apply to other future STD vaccines, and we need to continue to address the issue around decreasing stigma around STD vaccines. And public health communities should collaborate with journalists to educate them about HPV and the vaccine so coverage is as accurate and comprehensive as possible. And I'd like to thank these individuals for all their help and support, and let me know if you have any questions.
What a great presentation. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great.
Could you step just a little closer
to if the mic? I do, I'll swallow it. But John Tony, University of South Florida. It's a great discussion. I was curious, a lot of news stories pull from wire feeds, like Reuters or something else. Were you able to look at that and see what your source was of some of those informations? And that may explain some of the commonalities that you saw? Or were you...
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the end of the question.
I said at the end was, were you able to exclude those?
Exclude articles?
Exclude stories that pulled from a wire service that were pretty much going to be, somebody just took that article put a little spin on it, but most of the content is the same as what's on the wire service.
We actually included articles that did pull from news wires and may have changed it some, because as far as we were concerned, it was still information, but it provided new information. So those were included. We tried to get rid of as many duplicate. I would try and go by line, but you know, I'm sure, like I said, a few snuck in there. But a lot of internet websites, they pull from news wires, so a lot of it is duplicate information. I don't think the One Less commercial says anything about. I think that the point of the One Less commercial was just to start raising awareness about the HPV, because they knew the vaccine was going to be licensed soon. But yeah, I'm sure it had something to do with maybe scaring parents.
I think we have one more question.
I'm not exactly sure about that. Some of our articles were from student newspapers. They came up in the top three searches of our web hits. My thesis advisor seems to think that there may really be no difference in coverage between internet coverage and print coverage. So that's something that I think is being explored by some people out in the field.
Thank you. This concludes our session. Enjoy the rest of the meeting. And as a member of the planning committee, let me ask you to, before you leave town, do fill out, there is an evaluation form in your packet, and that does help the meeting planners continue to provide, you know, a high quality meeting. So thank you so much.